You are listening to another edition of BlockReportRadio.com with the Minister of Information, J.R. Today, I will be talking with former Black Panther political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal about the recent developments in his case, his thoughts on the movement to free Troy Anthony Davis after he was lynched by the state, and the Pelican Bay-led hunger strike.
Hey, what's going on, Mo?
What's going on, Black man?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. First, I got to say happy birthday to the Black Panther Party, 45th anniversary.
It feels just like yesterday. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Well, we just kick it off. Mumia, there was recently a small victory in your case. Can you tell the people who are not tuned to the news what that was?
Well, it was a victory, and it wasn't a victory. What it was, in legal terms, was not a decision, but a non-decision. By that I mean a petition was filed and it was denied. There was nothing written other than petition denied. There was no opinion. There was no ruling in law. What that means is whatever happened before stands. So the decision of a federal court way back in 2001 still stands. That's what it really means legally. So of course you get your victories where you can, but you know, there are victories and there are victories.
I know that you've written a few commentaries about Troy Davis, but just reflecting from death row, with you being a political prisoner, how did you see what happened to Troy Davis and what lessons should we learn, particularly in fighting for you, but in fighting for prisoners in general?
Well, that you have to go the extra mile. And I think, you know, and this is not a criticism, it's more an observation, that most of the people who were Troy Davis supporters were relatively new to the anti-death penalty movement. They were very young, they were college students and what have you. And because they were new to the death penalty movement, they really believed that the courts were just and that the courts would not allow anything to happen because they were thinking of the court and the legal process as, let's say, logical and legal as opposed to political. You know, the death penalty movement in America really stems from 1976. That's because in that year, the U.S. Supreme Court reinstated capital punishment after a 4 or 5 year hiatus in a case called Gregg versus Georgia. From that day to this, there's been a death penalty in the United States. What's interesting about that is, of the judges who voted to reinstate capital punishment, three of them, who have later retired from the Supreme Court, I believe it's Justice Blackmun, Justice Powell, and Justice John Paul Stevens, after they got off the court, they changed their minds. In interviews, they said that that was one mistake that they made early in their careers. If they could have voted again, they would have voted to outlaw and make unconstitutional the death penalty. Now, if they had done that back in 1976, then a majority of the Supreme Court, that means five justices, would have declared the death penalty unconstitutional, and it would not exist in American law. I say five because those three are named, and of course, Justices Brennan and Justice Marshall, who always voted against capital punishment in all cases, but they didn't do that, and they waited until they retired for the most part. So that's the system we have. My point is that many of the people who were protesting for Troy Davis, they didn't know about that kind of history. They just read about Troy and thought, well, this is good, this is right, and of course he'll win. As I said earlier, courts are political institutions. They're appointed by politicians, and they make political decisions. And this was a political decision.
Can you talk a little bit about the resurgence of the prison movement across the country in the last few years? But most notably, can you talk about the effects and impact outside of California dealing with the Pelican Bay-led prison strike that's going on in California?
Well, California was in many ways the spark of many of the radical movements of the 60s. Indeed, it was the spark of the old prisoner rights movement back during the time of George Jackson, if you get my drift. This new movement, I think, is occasioned by two things. The kind of mass incarceration that people did not know of back in the 70s because it didn't exist. And also the growth and the multiplication of what's called control units, or RHUs, or SHUs, as they call it in California. Lockdown units, where thousands and thousands of people are locked down for years and years and even decades. One of the demands from the people in Pelican Bay and other prisons was as I've written about, sunlight, you know, they were starving themselves, threatening their health and perhaps starving to death because they wanted sunlight. And of course, that's not the only thing, but think about that, you know. It gives you some sense of how locked down people are, not just in California, but all across the country. And just like I said, a movement started from California. Well, repression starts from California as well, because, you know, Pelican Bay is infamous for their treatment of people. But there's a Pelican Bay perhaps in every state of the Union now, or certainly most of them. And many prisons today, especially when you compare it with prisons from the 70s and even the 80s, are completely different environments where lockdown is the norm for everybody.
Mumia, can you tell us, as we approach the 30th year of your imprisonment, and you've been doing journalism from behind bars for decades while you've been in the concentration camp, what is it that you want us to gain from the media that you produce?
I hope that my work has opened some eyes. I mean, you know, you never really know. You know, you get letters from people, and they'll tell you that. But most people, you know, don't communicate that way. But just to give some insight into the nature of prisons, to be sure, death row, to be sure, but also this society.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
As you know, I talk about the whole world, not just the prison world. And, you know, I hope I've spoken truth about the situations that we're facing.
No doubt, man. Well, thank you for your time.
Okay, brother. On a move.
On a move. Free them all. All power to the people.
You were just listening to the voice of political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal, who was talking to us from death row in Pennsylvania. I am the Minister of Information, JR, for Block Report Radio. If you would like to get more information, you could go to Block, B-L-O-C-K, reportradio.com. Until next time, what's the call? Free them all. Free all political prisoners. We out.